Welcome to Eating is a Lifestyle with registered dietitians Toby Page
and Meredith Kleinhens. If you are stressed about food and nutrition, we are here for you. We will talk about real life examples of how to eat well and enjoy life with food.
Along the way, we'll break down stigmatizing diet culture. We'll share our stories and evidence-based information so you can make the best decisions for yourself and the ones you love. This podcast is not intended to replace medical advice, and we strongly recommend you talk to a registered dietitian if you have any concerns about your diet or your relationship with food.
Thank you for joining us.
Well, I read a thing somewhere that said if you save it to your computer, then it gives you the audio separately. But I've never actually been able to find where the audio is separate. So I just did it to the cloud because it seems safer. What if it doesn't fit on my computer or something?
Right.
Anyways, all right. So good afternoon, Meredith. It's evening time. It's the question that is in everybody's mind. What's for dinner at your house?
Well, you know, this is actually an amazing week for me because we just had Mother's Day, and my husband's gift was that I am not cooking all week.
For a week.
So it's sort of lovely that we're having this conversation on my bye week.
Okay, so you don't have to do the cooking, but do we still get meals that are mom approved?
Oh, sure. Yes. I am grateful for any cooking. Actually, so tonight they're making lettuce wraps with ground turkey and hoisin sauce and peanuts, green onions, you know, served in the lettuce.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. And I will have not had to lift a finger to enjoy
That's
them.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And so no planning, no cooking, no cleanup too?
Oh no, gotta help with the cleanup.
Okay, good for you. Good for you. Excellent.
Team effort on that, yeah. But normally, yeah, right, I'm definitely the meal guru, planning and prepping.
Well, excellent. So that's a great thing for us to talk about. We've got the guru with us in the house, the meal planning guru, and I've done my fair share of meal planning, I'll say. My kids are all in their 20s, and so there were many a day and many a week that I had to make sure that I had the menu planned out. So let's jump into meal planning. Yep. Where would you like to start? What's it look like at your house?
You know, I'm a really low-tech meal planner. I sit down with, you know, a notebook, or now I do have a journal that I made for this purpose. Cookbooks. I have binders actually that I started in high school when I started to get into cooking, with, you know, different sections and things, looking through recipes. I also use the meal planning journal that I keep and thumb through past weeks to get ideas based on the day of the week, the activities going on, to keep it simple for myself. So I sit down and do that sort of plan out based on, and I even write in my week what activities are what nights and what time. So I'm really oriented to what is realistic in terms of food prep too. And I keep a running list of ideas. And as I actually make them on that day, I will add that in. So it's sort of a brainstorming session, but I don't commit a meal to a certain day of the week in the journal until we've actually made it, because there are so many times where I'm like, yeah, we're going to have that on Monday, and it ends up Friday because of all the things that came up. So that's a little bit about the way I do it. And of course, while I'm coming up with those ideas, I'm writing my grocery list and taking inventory of what I need to pick up to make all of that happen.
So I have a question. When do you do this in your week? What time of day? Like, when does this happen? Because You are a busy lady when the sun is up, and I assume you sleep when the sun is down. And so at what point do you sit down and do this brainstorming session of what's for dinner?
It's usually on the weekend. I usually am doing this on Sundays. I would say I'm still struggling with getting my set grocery day in. I worked part-time for a really long time in the last year and a half. I've been full-time, and since then I've still sort of not gotten my flow down. So it might end up being Monday at 6 a.m. I'm going to the grocery store, or Monday after work, or Sunday. So I'm still working on that piece. That's okay. We still eat well.
Yeah, good. Make it happen.
But squeezing it in. Not having that routine day, I'd like to figure out that a little better personally. But Sunday is usually when I'm kind of planning and looking ahead at what all do we have going on.
Have you ever tried one of those click shop kind of things where it's your same grocery store, but someone shops for you?
I should try that. And I want to pick out my food.
Yeah, I feel that. That's
because I also sort of, I am stocked for the apocalypse. I have a wall of seltzer water, and I'm like, that's my emergency water. It was on sale. So, well, I have the privilege of being able to do that, being able to take advantage of sales because I can afford to buy things in bulk when it makes sense to do that. So that's another piece that I see things as I'm walking through the store. I'm like, oh yeah, that's good. Da-da-da-da-da. So I haven't been able to let that be delegated yet, but I need to look at it. Do you use those types of services?
No, I have not. And I think I feel the same way. I need to pick out my own food. And I've heard horror stories about, well, they were out of this, so they picked the next best thing. And it's like, how did they make that decision? And yeah, no, I think I'm too picky to do it that way. But no, I'm a go to the grocery store kind of shopper myself.
Well, how do you meal plan?
Well, I am also pretty low tech, so I sit down with my piece of paper. I have some favorite cookbooks, and I will say that my favorite healthy recipe website of all time is foodhero.org, put out by Oregon State University. Love, love, love that website. Every recipe on that website has to meet 4 main criteria. Hmm. The first is it needs to be healthy. So, you know, we have to define what healthy means so that we know what we're talking about here. To OSU, healthy means that the fat is controlled. So there's no more than 1/3 of its calories coming from fat to start with. Sometimes this means we need to add a little fat to the recipes, but it's a whole lot easier to add fat than to try to take fat away and make it still taste good. So they've done that for us. So they've got fat controlled plus one other healthy attribute, such as high fiber, high calcium, something like that. They have made sure it tastes good. So these recipes are recipe tested, mostly on children, making sure that this stuff tastes good. It's healthy. It's tasty. All the ingredients are normal ingredients you can find at any old grocery store. I love that. You have probably already have half the ingredients in your pantry already. So deciding what to choose can sometimes be driven that way. Healthy, tasty, low cost, and quick and easy.
Yeah, winning combo right there. That's great. Yeah. Great website to
That's
know
all
about.
I need. So I'll sit down with either Food Hero or my recipe books and think about, okay, what sounds good? I usually plan about 3 dinners because there's always leftovers, there's always scrounge out of the fridge, there's always the option of going out, although I don't get to do that very often. So I'll think of three different dinners and kind of go about building out what's going to go with them based on my first idea. So I'll either use those or just what sounds good, right? Because all of a sudden it got hot here and all of a sudden we needed to barbecue and not use our oven. And so the menu I had planned for the couple weeks ago when it was 52 degrees and raining was very different.
For sure. Yeah, I've got lasagna in the freezer right now, but it's been 90 all week here. And I'm like, well, we're going to keep that for another day.
We'll save that for the June gloom when the cold weather comes back. But for now, summer salads and barbecue it is. So yeah, one thing I do find really handy is that I will create my menu with my grocery list on the other side. So it's literally on the same piece of paper. Mm-hmm. And so when I go to the grocery store and I'm getting all my stuff, well, what if something looks better? Or what if something on my list doesn't look very good? I can flip it over and say, well, what was I going to do with that? Can I swap it out? That has saved me so many times. Can't even believe it. As far as assigning the days, that is something I did when the kids were younger and in activities, because I had to think about it.
Yeah.
I had to think about, okay, what time are we going to be home? What time do we need to leave the house? You know, what is happening on that day? Am I cooking that day? Is that a leftover day? You know, what are we going to do here? So I did assign the days. Now, not so much.
Yeah, more flexibility and fluidity.
Yeah, what sounds good tonight out of these three choices?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what do you think makes it hard for people to do this week after week? What makes it hard for you?
Oh, I think, you know, the thing I hear the most, and of course, experience, is just time. Making the time to do it. I definitely feel that when you make a plan, you save time ultimately by not having to run to the store last minute and things like that. But feeling like you can sit down for 20 minutes to do this can feel hard in the beginning. I think when you ask your family for input and they're like, I don't care. Like, no, come on. Give me some ideas. Whatever. That's not helpful. I think I hear from others too, am I doing it right? Am I meal planning right? Just the stress of not feeling confident that they know how to feed their family because of all the messaging around and moral terms that are used to describe food in our culture. When I was younger parent, I put a lot of pressure on myself for things that they needed to be made from scratch. And when I was able to let go of that, that made it a lot easier for me. Like, okay, I'm not a failure because I used a jar of sauce, you know, getting over that, can be really hard.
Well, that kind of, you know, if I don't make it from scratch, it's not healthy enough. Why did I even bother making this dinner? Or gosh, it's not good enough. Like you're saying, I have heard this from people before. And, you know, especially if they had a mom that did, gosh, how did my mom serve up all these things? And, you know, maybe times were different, or maybe their mom didn't. And so they're thinking, well, I want to make sure that my kid does. But then there can be unrealistic expectations put on themselves in that situation too, because, well, you know, what if you do have a full-time job? And what if you do have these, you know, kids that need lots of attention? And what if you are tired? And yeah, so I think expectations is a big one for people to take a step back and say, well, what's realistic for our family? Is it realistic that we have seven different three-course meals this week? Or is it realistic that we have Taco Tuesday every Tuesday, so I don't have to think about what we're going to have on Tuesday because it's already been figured out?
Exactly. Yeah. I feel like we don't give ourselves credit or acknowledgement for the context of our ability to meal plan or serve X, Y, or Z and acknowledge, yeah, you have two full-time working parents who are commuting. Things need to be quick and easy. They cannot be from scratch, you know?
One thing that always made it hard for me when my kids were younger was that, you know, I put all this work into coming up with this delicious menu and then they wouldn't like it. And then that would be very frustrating for me to have put all this effort into this big plan and then somebody doesn't like it. And so that was a frustration for me, aside from, you know, time, but.
So what would happen? They didn't like it. They wouldn't eat it. And then what?
Well, you know, I was a young parent and I was a young dietitian and I was just learning the concepts of Helen Satter and just learning how to feed kids and things like that. I remember there was probably a month straight that I made macaroni and cheese every single night so that I would have no complaints at dinner time, because at least there was going to be mac and cheese and everybody liked it. And it might've been tacos and mac and cheese, but everybody liked mac and cheese. And so there was a time I did that.
Sure.
One concept that I did learn and stuck with me in a good way is the idea of making sure there's just at least one item that everybody likes, that each person likes. So, you know, if we're having tacos and people don't like any of what's in the tacos and they don't like the rice or beans, maybe they can have some slices of oranges. And you know what? We can offer slices of oranges to everybody at the table. And then that way, at least that person can enjoy some slices of oranges. And then slices of oranges are not a complete meal. And so maybe we're going to have some toast and milk. That's my fallback for what do I give the child that doesn't like dinner tonight? Toast and milk is usually my fallback.
Yeah, your alternate menu without short order cooking, right? Because then the people learn, oh, if I just hold out, I'll get what I want.
Right, incorporating right. Those that things. Yeah, that could be a whole nother episode is how to accommodate those picky eaters at the table. But I think, you know, meal planning is definitely part of it. Planning on, this kid's not going to like much of this dinner. What could I add to it that I know in advance they are going to eat, but it's not going to take a whole lot of work on my part.
Yeah, just incorporating it onto the table.
I will admit macaroni and cheese was not the answer. It was not quick and easy. There was way more than I thought going on there. There was butter and milk and cooking and boiling noodles. And there was just a lot of work to mac and cheese. And so we went with toast and milk.
Perfect. So let's talk about what are the benefits of taking the time to do meal planning. We've touched on them a little bit, I think, but.
Yeah, I almost feel that it is a necessity for me. I think of the deer in headlights analogy. If I don't have a meal plan and it's Monday and I like haven't been to the store, I don't have a meal plan. I just sort of stand there frozen and we're probably going to have quesadillas every night. And it's just not going to look right. It's not going to feel right. For me, having that plan means my weeks are going to go well. I'm going to have delicious things to eat in the evenings that I've already thought of. I don't have to think of on the night of, because by then my brain is done for the day. I've worked all day. I've taken care of things all day. And dinner time is not the time to think of what should I have. I'm zapped by then. So the benefit for me is having that decision already made.
Yes, reducing the amount of quick decisions you need to make. I tend to get this mixed up, but is it the best offense is a good defense? Or is it the other way around?
I think that's it.
Having made the decision, because it just simplifies it. Oh, this is what we're doing. It's written down. These are our choices. Let's go. It just takes that, oh, I don't know. Then you're roaming around the cupboards wondering, oh, now I need to go get something. Like, oh, this is what we have, and able to execute faster. And for me, with the planning, it just, you ultimately have control over how your family gets fed. And I don't really mean that in a rigid way, but I mean with intention. You can intentionally decide on Wednesday, we're going to do fast food. And that's fine. It's the important distinction is that it was with intention than, oh, didn't think of anything. Oh, we'll go through the drive-thru again. You know, there's a difference there when you do something with intention. And if we don't plan, it could end up being a bowl of cereal. And that's fine too. That has happened. But then there's this also this opportunity when we plan ahead to make recipes that remind us of people or events. You know, we can bring back memories when we plan ahead. Like, oh, we have my grandma, German grandmother, has an Italian spaghetti sauce recipe that we all call Gigi's, great grandma. And, you know, everybody loves Gigi's. We're having Gigi's tonight. Oh, yeah, you know. So planning ahead for things that you all love and are able to remember people by.
Oh, that's sweet. I really like that. Yeah, and definitely having those fallbacks is a part of my meal planning.
For sure.
Is having those things stocked in my fridge and my pantry that I know are typically always there. Of course, easier to keep stuff in my pantry than in the fridge, but there are things I typically always buy and that are always available to me. And so if, you know, one of my three dinners isn't appropriate for tonight, I do always have a fallback. Cottage cheese, Triscuits, and tomatoes is probably my most common fallback.
Delish, no cook, all weather.
Right? And to touch on that family component, that was one of my grandma's favorite things. So that was like, it's a grandma thing too. So yeah, I definitely feel that meal planning benefits me so much, especially when I don't do it. We actually just got back from vacation, and I say just got back as if we just got back, but it was a few weeks ago. And it took me a few weeks to get back in the rhythm. And I actually just did a formal grocery shop with a menu for the first time on Saturday, not Mother's Day, but on Saturday I shopped. And it was like so lovely to have a good dinner last night instead of, oh, what's in the freezer? And oh, there's fruit. And not really feeling satisfied after dinner.
Yeah.
So one of the things we were saying is that we don't need to plan seven different meals because leftovers are a thing. So do your leftovers like exactly the same as they were the first time? Or do you like to get creative and turn your leftovers into fancy, fun, new things?
It can depend on what it is, but I've been known to have a fusion of multiple leftovers all put together in a bowl that I then warm up. But for instance, you know, my husband grilled some tri-tip and chicken. So what we try to do when we're using the grill is make a bunch of things that we can then parcel out either throughout the week or we freeze it for later. So he grilled some chicken and we had that over the weekend, and then we used that for chicken Caesar salads. And in fact, we had some left over, so we'll probably do like a chicken taco or fajita with it. So definitely changing up things that work like that, you know, soup kind of is soup, but maybe you freeze that soup and eat it in a couple weeks rather than all week. That's how we'll use leftovers. I like to call them planned overs because I like to plan to have them for all of those reasons. What I've sort of learned to do when I can is make things buildable. So I've done soup where I've made the broth or the base, but then I have all these different things. So-and-so doesn't like celery, or when we're having a group over and certain folks can't eat gluten. So I'll make the noodles and have them in a separate bowl, and I'll have rice. I'll have a different starch that they can have. And then I'll line up all these other little add-ins so people can have it the way that they want. And I'll do that with soup, salads, and bowls. And that way everybody gets what they want. And I wasn't making 10 different entrees.
Sure. And then you'll have all those pre-prepped veggies that can be added to the next dish that maybe is completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Having the prepped veggies is something that I highly recommend doing as well. So we've made our plan, we've made our menu, we know what we're going to do, we've gone to the store, we have all the stuff, and we have a busy week ahead. And so one tip that I have is to kind of take a look at the menu and see if you can maybe wash and chop some of those veggies ahead of time. Broccoli loves a little shower and a little trim and to be put in a container and put back in the fridge and be ready to use on the night of. Pre-prepping your veggies can save so much time on the night of. Just dump it in. Have you ever had one of those meal service where you order and they send you all the ingredients in those little tiny packages?
I haven't.
You haven't done that?
No, I haven't.
I've only done it a few times. Mm-hmm. the little tiny package of packages of plastic do kind of bug me. Mm-hmm. And so that's probably my biggest gripe with those services. But anyway, sure. They're delicious and fun and great for lots of instances. In fact, I got my dad set up with one when my mom was out of town for a week. Mm-hmm. And he was so proud of himself for cooking these beautiful meals. And he could do it because everything was, you know, all measured out for him. And it really just made it easy. And the instructions were laid out. So I think that they're great for things like that. But
oh, for sure.
For me, a lot of plastic. So, but I will say that having all the stuff pre-measured out and pre-prepped does make meal prep so easy, so much easier.
Yeah, and I haven't necessarily thought to do that for dinners, but definitely cut veggies for taking for lunches and stuff. You know, I've got this rectangular container and I'll just chop up a bunch of things and then we all just grab from there. And that really does increase our produce consumption when it's ready to go.
For sure. Yeah. I always say nothing goes bad in a refrigerator like a thing of celery.
That's true.
Right? How many limp plants of celery have we pulled out of the drawer and tossed in the garbage can because we needed one stalk for our recipe and we thought, well, people will snack on it. But they didn't, because I didn't wash it and prep it.
Exactly. We even have bunnies, and the bunnies have gotten tired of that celery. We just need to stop buying it. Or I'll save it. I'll freeze it. I have a broth bag I keep. So I will throw it in there.
Well, my tip for you is to wash it and chop it and see if it goes that way. Because
thank you, Toby.
If it's washed and ready to go, give it a shot. So that brings us to the idea of meal prepping versus meal planning, because meal prepping is really like a hot thing. People are doing a lot of meal prepping right now, where they're laying out all their meals, all their breakfasts, all their lunches, all their dinners. They don't have to think about it all week long, and they're doing it all on the weekend. And I cannot imagine dedicating my weekend to doing that. My weekends are for playing and relaxing. They're not for meal prepping for the week.
Well, whatever works, right? The thing I've learned over time is what works for you is what works for you. I agree. Sometimes I call it a twofer. I'm making two dinners at once, and that just eases my way for the week. And it's great to know, all we're going to have to do for that meal is heat it up. To spend my Sunday making everything, that would be hard.
Yeah, especially around here when we have so few sunny Sundays. But I do like to pre-prep my veggies when I bring them home from the grocery store, which is usually on Sunday, and I'll just whip those out real quick. Probably takes me 30, 40 minutes. I've got all my veggies prepped for the whole week. And guess what? That's about how long it takes to cook whole grains. So if I've got any whole grain dishes on my menu, I could probably just throw a pan on the stove and babysit some grains while I wash some veggies. And 45 minutes later, I am so far ahead on my week, but I didn't have to spend all day. So the line, blurring the line between meal prepping and meal planning.
Yeah, that's a really good idea. I'm gonna have to think about that. Cutting my veggies, and they might consolidate better in the fridge. Sometimes that first day I'm like, it's Tetris getting all of my things to fit in the fridge. With two teenagers, we're at peak food acquisition and consumption levels. So it is really full in there.
Right. That fruit bowl is overflowing on Mondays.
For sure.
Well, awesome. Well, I definitely think that meal planning is worth it. And I just don't know how I would function without it. I am a piece of paper kind of gal. We have an awesome journal that we can access from Meredith's website that we'll link in the show notes so that you can purchase her beautiful journal that is so gorgeous. I love it, and so much fun, and has a lot of Meredith in it, which I love too. Or meal planning on an app. That's a thing too, and grocery shopping. I don't know if I'm that techie quite yet.
Right. And I would say if anybody's listening to this and wanting to get better at meal planning, just start writing down what you are doing. Even if it was thinking about what did we do last week, and keeping that in a place, a calendar, a notebook, a journal, because it's starting to, you're going to see what, I am really doing some things, and that will start to build the habit, and you can look back at it for future inspiration. And then as you get that built in, you can start to look at the variety. Is Taco Tuesday still working for us? That may be a yes, but maybe once you've gotten used to planning and having a routine, you can branch out to Torta Tuesday. I don't know. Tostada Tuesday.
No, I love that though. Like What a great place to start is just write down what you did have. And they say that most people have like 10 foods that are really their basics. And so you will probably start to see some repeats. And then meal planning might not seem so daunting if you can look back and say, well, okay, how many times did we actually need to come up with something new? How many times did we do leftovers? How's that work for our family? Love that. That's great. Well, very good. It was great to talk with you about this today. And we'll figure out what we're going to talk about next time.
Sounds great. Always fun to talk with you, Toby.
All right. Thanks, Meredith.
Thank you for joining us today. We are here to share our stories and our expertise with you so that you can eat well, stress less about food, and find smarter, not harder ways to nourish yourself and the ones you love.
If you have a topic you'd like us to discuss or anything you'd like to share, send us an email or connect with us on social media. Links are all in the show notes.
Connect with Meredith on her blog, savvydietitian.com.
Download the Eating is a Lifestyle app now, available in the App Store. You can help us spread these messages by telling a friend about this podcast and sharing on social media.
Until next time, eat well and enjoy your life with food too.